The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
All right, we're going to talk again this morning about fighting the good fight. I've been sharing this series. We've actually been talking about the armor of God, and we've talked extensively about that. But 1 Timothy 6:12 says, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." You have confessed the Lord Jesus Christ, and that immediately enlists you in the Lord's army. You're a soldier. Maybe you don't want to be a soldier, but if you have received Christ as your personal Savior, you have no choice. You have been commissioned in the army of the Lord. We are in a fierce battle, and at times things don't look so good for our side, but we always have to keep in mind, we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. Because those things that are seen, these things that are happening all around us, they're temporary. But the things of God are subject to quick change, to immediate change. When God decides He's going to do something, it happens. So we should not be looking at the things that are happening. We must look beyond that into the spiritual realm of what God is doing. Listen. I'm going to be talking about prayer this morning, and I believe it's a timely message because we are in some very difficult times. I see the rise of globalism all over the world, and that rise of globalism is squelching free speech, and it is hindering religious freedom. It's just a reality. Jesus said that these are the kind of things that we are going to go through. These things will happen. And because of this, I believe it's essential that we understand prayer and we get serious about our prayer lives. Now, I don't know how far God's going to allow these things to go. Sometimes, somewhere along the line, He's going to get tired of it and put an end to it. But as it stands right now, we're looking at some very difficult times in the future. Remember this. Now, I share these things with you not to scare people. I want you to understand that God is on your side. God is always on our side. God is always working on our behalf. I share these things with you so that you can prepare, so that you can get serious. Listen, the church cannot just do things as we've normally done in the past. We must get very serious with our relationship with the Lord. It's more than just coming together on Sunday mornings. It's being prepared for battle. And I've been doing my best to prepare you for battle with this series of message about fighting the good fight and the armor of God. Things sometimes do not always look good, but that's okay. I want to share with you a Reader's Digest story that was written several years ago. An instructor of student truck drivers was teaching his students, and he gave them the scenario in his class. You are in an 18-wheeler with heavy load, barreling down a mountainous two-lane highway. Ed, your co-driver, is asleep. There are six trucks behind you, and as you come over the top of the hill, one of the trucks behind you pulls out into the left lane to pass. As he comes alongside you, you see several trucks coming from the opposite direction, moving toward you. One of the trucks coming at you is in your lane because it is passing on the trucks on the other side. There are five trucks behind and one beside you. There are several trucks in front of you, and the two out front have both lanes blocked. The question is, what will you do? One student immediately raised his hand. He said, "That's easy." The instructor kind of laughed and said, "What do you mean it's easy?" He He said, it's easy. He said, okay, what would you do? He said, I'd wake up Ed. Why would you wake up Ed? I'd wake up Ed because he ain't never seen a truck wreck like we're about to see. That sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? Things can get bad sometimes, but we're not going to focus on that. There is an answer. And I think that instructor thought there was an answer to this, and the driver didn't think so. Remember, we're not driving. Jesus is. Jesus is in control. And that's what we've got to keep our focus on. As we've been studying the armor of God, Ephesians 6, the Apostle Paul has given us five pieces of armor. One weapon, which is necessary for our victory. Five pieces of armor and one weapon. The weapon, of course, is the Word of God. And he tells us in verse 12 that we're fighting against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places, not flesh and blood. So let's not get caught up in the flesh and blood battles that's going on. The armor protects us during even the worst of the battle. So we put this armor on and we go into battle. It's a belt of truth. Breastplate of righteousness, his shoes of gospel of peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and of course our weapon is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And in Roman times, the Romans had the type of sword that they used was not big swords like this, but smaller swords, double-edged sword, which was mostly used for jabbing. They would hide behind their shields, and instead of exposing their torso where they could have limbs chopped off or stabbed, they would hide behind their shield and reach out and stab like this. And part of the way that they were trained was to stab and turn their weapon, which would inflict horrendous problems for the enemy in their organs. Of course, it would be very difficult. As you were stabbed, and then horrendous things would take place inside of you. This was a devastating way of doing battle, and that's why the Roman army became so powerful. But there's another thing that Paul adds to this. And he says in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So Paul adds at the end of all this armor and the weapons that we have, he adds something else, prayer. Now, prayer is not a weapon necessarily, and it's not part of the armor that protects us, although it can be used as a weapon, it can be used as armor if we understand it. But it's kind of out of place here in this list of things. Some commentaries that I read liken prayer to engaging in battle. That's what prayer was. It's engaging in the battle. And I can see that, but I have a little different take on what our prayer life is really all about. I believe prayer is God's strategic training program. You see, we need the Word of God to be trained. But we also need the master to train us. One of the things that my grandsons have taken jiu-jitsu in the past. And in order for them to learn jiu-jitsu, they have to have one-on-one training. Now, the instructor has a lot of people in the class, but he has people in that class who are very skilled in jiu-jitsu, and they go around one-on-one with these students to make sure they're doing things properly. We need that one-on-one communication with our Father. I believe that's where our real training comes from. Scripture tells us here, pray always in the Spirit. Now, we have to look at this in the context of what Paul is talking about. I've heard in this teaching promote the scripture as teaching to pray in the spirit, or pray in a spiritual prayer language. The truth is, if you put this scripture in context, he is not really talking about praying in your spiritual language. He's talking about all kinds of prayer. Now, I wholeheartedly, let me make sure I make this perfectly clear. I wholeheartedly believe in praying in the Spirit. I do it often, all the time. When I pray in the Spirit. Pray in my understanding, I pray in the Spirit, like Paul said. But here in this particular scripture, he's talking about any prayer that is directed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Any and all prayer. So what I want to do is look at prayer this morning, and I want to liken it to a military training, because that's what Paul was talking about here in Ephesians. Having the armor, having word, and being trained. So in military, and in the military, there's something called basic training. How many of you guys have been soldiers in the past? Okay. All right. You know how difficult basic training was. Or maybe you liked it. Did you like it, Randy? I bet you did. Yeah. You're that kind of guy. Yeah. How about you, Vince? Do you like it? Yeah, there's just some personalities that love that kind of thing. And then there's others that, you know, don't necessarily like all the push-ups and the setups and all the things that they have you do. But basic training is very important. They didn't do it because you liked it. They did it because it was necessary for you and for the overall army. It's necessary for you to be trained in basic training in the Scripture and in the Word of God and in your relationship in prayer with the Father, not just for you, but for the entire body of Christ. It's necessary for that, for us, all of us. All recruits need basic training, because without it, the army's not what it should be. Now, here at Bethel, we provide sword training. Now, what I mean by that is we provide classes that's designated for different things that you can learn in the body of Christ, you know, basic doctrines, all the way up to leadership training and prophetic class. All kinds of different classes that we try to provide here. So training in the with the sword is very important. But 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God." So that's what we're trying to do through this kind of training. So part of basic training is the study of the word and learning the word. But Army basic training is more involved than that. It's more than just learning how to use your weapons. Training from a military perspective takes an average citizen and transforms them into becoming a soldier. It teaches them, I took some of this right from Army information website. It teaches the traditions, the tactics, and the methods of becoming a soldier. And I believe that daily prayer is the only way to truly learn those kind of things. Learn the tactics, the traditions that God wants us to know. The methods of becoming a strong, powerful soldier for the kingdom of God. Because prayer, when we enter into prayer with the Lord, we receive discernment, direction. We get downloads, direct downloads from God. Nothing that you can't get anyplace else. You get a direct download. Now, I'm not talking about religious tradition, you know, traditional prayers where you just go through the motion. I'm talking about Holy Spirit. That's what Paul was talking about. Holy Spirit empowered prayers, a prayer life that's Holy Spirit empowered. Proverbs 15:8 says this, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight." He delights in communication with you. Our Father wants that communion with you. Colossians 4:2 says this, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Be vigilant in your prayer. Don't give up. Yeah, you know, we struggle in our prayer life sometimes. Sometimes we have all kinds of things bombarding us. We're busy with this and that, and the enemy comes in with all kinds of thoughts. But be vigilant in your prayer. Don't give up. Stand firm. Continue. Seek the face of God. Work through it. Don't let the enemy stop you in your prayer life. Prayer is so powerful, if we could just get a hold of how powerful prayer really is. Let me share with you some research that was done from the Columbia University. It was conducted a study of 199 women of an in vitro fertilization clinic in Korea. But unknown to these women, the researchers had enlisted people from the United States, Canada, and Australia to pray for these women as they went through their treatment, trying to get pregnant. Pictures of those patients was sent to the people that were praying, and the people prayed diligently, fervently for those patients. Prayer continued for 3 weeks. None of the people in the research program knew anything about this. None of the people that were participating. What happened was the patients in the study were all undergoing the same in vitro fertilization process for reproduction. And the success rate of the in vitro fertilization average without prayer, about 22.8% for live births. Here's what happened, and it surprised researchers. The women who were prayed for ended up with a significant higher pregnancy rate than any of the others. About 50% got pregnant in the group that was being prayed for. 26% in the non-prayed for group. The lead author of the report, Dr. Roger A. Lobo, Columbia's chairman of obstetrics and gynecology, said this on Good Morning America. The study appears in the current Journal of Reproductive Medicine. So it's documented proof that prayer does make a difference. This is just a minor thing, really. When we think about it, it's wonderful and it's awesome. But it's minor when we compare it to the awesome power that God really has and wants to unleash in our lives through prayer. The next stage of a military life, it is advanced training. Basic combat training comes in three phases and lasts about 10 weeks. Depending on what they call your military occupational specialty or your MOS. After you graduate from basic training, you undergo additional phase of training known as advanced individual training, where you will learn a job skill and be required to perform that job in the service. Now, as we apply this to the body of Christ, we all know that we receive gifts, and I've talked about this in the past. When you receive Christ as your personal Savior, you have gifts imparted into your life, spiritual gifts. And those spiritual gifts are meant to be used for the body, to encourage the body and to reach people for Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 12, verse 4 through 8, if you want to turn there with me, that'd be great. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 through 8. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So whatever your gifting is, and this is not a complete list, there's many more things in the body, in the Bible that is listed as giftings that are imparted to God's people. But as we begin to operate in the body of Christ, we must learn what our gifting is. And one of the best ways to do that is in seeking God in prayer. When we apply this to the military model, we each have a military occupational specialty in MOS. And the best way to increase that is to understand it and to get to hear from God is through prayer and fasting. You see, it's the next step in our spiritual walk. Prayer and fasting will increase your faith. Prayer and fasting will put you in a position where you can believe God's word and trust the sword of the Spirit. It will encourage you to be able to step out and step into the giftings and the callings that God has for your life. And it will allow God to reveal to you what your giftings, your MOS is. Daniel was a man that God... that served pagan kings. He served four pagan kings for about 65 years. When he wanted to hear from God, Daniel prayed and fasted. If you want to hear what God has for you, prayer and fasting is the best option. It's an awesome way to get our flesh out of the way, get our spiritual antennas up, and be able to hear what God has for us. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, it says this, "Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes." See, Daniel's a great example for us. Jesus was a good example. John the Baptist, many of the disciples, they fasted, they prayed. Jesus actually said that some spiritual forces do not come out except by prayer and fasting. So there's power in prayer and fasting, and there's a wisdom that we receive from God, a download, when we get our spiritual life in order. Billy Graham once noted, "Prayer is not about using God. It is more often about getting us in a position where God can use us." Amen to that. I believe it. The last thing I want to share with you in regards to this military example is special forces. And we've all heard of special forces. The Army has special forces, Green Beret, and Navy SEALs, and I don't know what all special forces are, but special forces, they make all kinds of movies about special forces. Rambo and all kinds of special forces type movies where the special, you know, sometimes it's a one-man army, which is ridiculous, but we like those kind of movies, don't we? We get into them, or some of us do. But it's important that we recognize that God wants to enlist us in His special forces. I have no doubt about that. He wants us all to be in His special forces. The cornerstone of special forces in the military is activities conducted to enable a resistance movement or insurgency to coerce, disrupt, or overthrow a governmental occupying enemy. To operate undercover with guerrilla forces in a denied area. So, special forces go into places where nobody else wants to go. If we are a part of the special forces of the kingdom of God, we have to be prepared to go into those areas where no one else wants to go. We have to go into the places where the demonic forces seem to have a stronghold. And yet we walk in there with the training and the ability and the power to overcome those forces. Amen? We truly can become the special forces of God. Confront the enemy. Pull down the strongholds. And be the special forces that God called us to. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 13 says, "Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, I will also sing with the understanding. Now, this is a scripture that many churches stay away from because it's so controversial. People don't want to talk about tongues. Tongues is of the devil. Well, if the tongues is of the devil, then all the disciples on the day of Pentecost must have been going to hell rather than to heaven, because they all spoke in other tongues and they magnified God. It's just a spiritual power that God gives to his people, and we should not be afraid of the power of God. It's important that we embrace all that God has for it. And yes, I believe that the scripture, and this is not a teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it takes an in-depth teaching on that. But it is an encouragement to seek the fullness of God's Spirit in your life so that you can pray in a spiritual language, because that spiritual language is important. You see, when Paul was talking about tongues here, that spiritual language, let's go to verse 14, 1 and 2. Go back. "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries." Once again, we're putting into context the scripture here. This one, he is actually talking about a spiritual language that you can operate in your life when you receive the fullness of the Spirit. He's talking about a prayer language that we can operate in. He's talking about speaking in tongues and the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues. That's in the context of what is going on here. So Paul says this, "He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God." When you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you operate in the gift of a spiritual language, guess what? You're communicating directly with God. That's a spiritual power that the enemy cannot hinder. He cannot get in the way. If you're having problems in your prayer life and you have the spiritual language, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit, because you will break through the forces of hell that are trying to hinder you and hold you down and keep you from receiving all that God has for you. This is for us today. Now, like I said, this is not an in-depth teaching about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I want to encourage you, special forces, every one of us can be enlisted in the special forces. Now, I'm not diminishing any prayer. All Holy Spirit-led prayer is powerful. But to be able to communicate directly with God and bypass any disruption from the enemy is awesome. And it's powerful. Praying in the Spirit is unconventional warfare. We need unconventional warfare against this enemy that we have. We need the power of God. We need to be able to rise up and rise above the circumstances and the situations that we see in our individual lives and in our nation and in the world. We need to recognize that our God wants to use us today, tomorrow, and every day of our life. This communication is extremely important. I want to encourage you to receive the fullness of the the Spirit, I want to encourage you to exercise that spiritual language. Maybe you've been baptized in the Spirit in the past, and you've just let that go dormant. Stir it up. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift that was given to you when his hands were laying on you. Stir it up every day. During World War II, the United States entered World War II after Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. And we entered into a war in the Pacific almost immediately with the Japanese. And things did not go so well for the United States because the Japanese were able to decipher all our codes. And for a long time, it was hard. They couldn't figure out why that was. They were able to do that. And then they began to realize, well, a lot of the Japanese were trained in the United States. They went to college in the United States. They were trained in military tactics in the United States. So, and the Japanese are very, very wise people, very smart. They were able to figure out the codes that the United States was using when they were preparing to attack. So the Japanese were always prepared until a gentleman by the name of Philip Johnson had an idea. His idea was to use the Navajo language for encoded communications. The reason he had this idea was because he was a son of missionaries to the Navajo, and he was one of the few people outside of the Navajo Nation that could speak the language. And he presented this to the military, and the military was impressed with it. When they did a test, during a time when communications, encoded communications, took about 30 minutes to send, receive, and decipher, the Navajo code talkers could send a message in 20 seconds. Send it, receive it, and decode it. In a time when it took 30 minutes. This was an incredible boost in morale, and it gave the United States a huge edge. From 1942 to 1945, the Navajo code talkers were involved in almost every major battle in the Pacific. The code words, they had to memorize them. They came up with a specific code that they all understood. And it was one of the military leaders during that time said that the code talkers, if it had not been for the code talkers, we may have lost the war because they were able to keep the Japanese from deciphering the codes, the intelligence. One of the Japanese chief of intelligence, Lieutenant General, said this: while they were able to decipher all other U.S. military codes, they were never able to crack the code used by the Navajos. They had a special language that they communicated to their leaders with. We have a special language that we can communicate with our Heavenly Father with. It's a powerful language. And because of that, I want to tell you, I believe this, we can win more battles than we're used to. We can be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Praise you. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Praise you, Lord. Glory. Thank you, Lord. So this morning, I want to encourage you. Seek God in prayer. And I want to encourage you to study the Scripture on receiving the fullness of the Spirit. Now, like I said, this was not an in-depth teaching. I will do that sometime in the future and offer the baptism of the Holy Spirit because I believe that it is very, very powerful and we all need that in our lives. But today I want you to focus on your prayer life. I want you to recognize that this is a battle. There are forces out there that we cannot contend with except through the power of God. We're wrestling against, not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of darkness. And those forces want to take us down. And yet, God has provided us with all the armor, all the weapons, and all the military communication we need to be victorious. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you. We give you glory and honor, Lord, that you are such an awesome and mighty God. And Lord, we thank you that you have called your people into this battle. Not a physical battle, Lord, a spiritual battle. But it's more intense, more powerful, and we have more than we need to be victorious. We trust you, Lord. And today as we leave this place, we just thank you and we praise you that as soldiers in your army, we will go forth, we will accomplish your will, we will live as good soldiers, ambassadors of Christ every day of our life. Father God, your power is awesome, and today we just thank you that you are in control. We give you glory and honor as we leave this place this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Have an awesome day. Praise God.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.